you've got your Bible, open with me to James chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 13 this morning. Those of you that had a fall break this past week, I hope you enjoyed it. My kids love any chance they get to be out of school for a little bit. And so Chelsea and I decided to make the most of it with the kids. We had a packed schedule, time on the road, a bunch of details. And I don't know about your family or the people that you hang around with, but in our family, between me and Chelsea, one of us is sort of a go with the flow kind of person, and one of us is more of a detailed person or a planner. Some of you might call this person in my household a controller, but you can't guess who's who in our house. Chelsea would hear, she would point at me and say, I'm the controller, right? I can't help it. I just need to know details are taken care of. If your spouse is like me, give them grace. It's just the way that we are. But here's the deal. Doesn't matter how much we plan, there's always something that doesn't go as planned, right? Your list was perfect, everything what was lined out, and then a phone call comes in, and it knocks things off course, and you don't get to do what you thought or what you were anticipating you were going to do. Maybe a flat tire happens as you're driving down the road, and it changes your plans for the day. Maybe a kid woke up sick, and everything was taken off course, or maybe you got to church on a Sunday morning and AT&T internet was out and none of the kids' ministry check-in systems worked, and you had to check in your kid by writing their name on a sticker, like I had to do this morning. Listen, there's just times in life where things don't go as planned, right? It just happens, and we're going to see in God's Word this morning in James 4 that we don't know what tomorrow holds. And if we're honest about it, we don't really even know what this afternoon is going to hold. Plans change, they can change, they will change, it's a part of life. And we're also going to see in God's Word this morning in James chapter 4 that when we try to hold really tight onto our plans and control our lives without looking to God, we're going to run into some major problems. In fact, in James 3, that's what he does. James 4, he outlines three problems here starting in verse 13. And this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the problems, and then we're going to look at the godly solutions that James provides to each one of those problems. Look with me now, starting in verse 13. God's word says this: Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. We see in verse 13 problem number one, and it's simply this. Problem number one is planning without God, right? And we know it's a problem because of the tone that James uses there with his recipients. You see it in his word choice. Look at the first couple of words of verse 13. He's introducing a new section of the letter, and in doing so, he calls the recipients, you who would say. Now, he hasn't done that in the entire letter so far. Every time he's introduced a new topic, he's referred back to his recipients, and he's called them my brothers, or he's called them my dear brothers, or my beloved brothers, right? That they get that warm treatment, that warm greeting in every section of the letter, except for here. They don't get it here. It's like he uses the middle name with them. When your parents used your middle name, what did it mean when you were a kid? Trouble. Right? It meant that you had done something wrong and that a course correction was coming for your life. That's the point James is trying to make. He's saying, you guys messed up. He's saying, you're doing this wrong. For some of them, it would appear that their lives, their choices, their plans, their priorities, all of it, they've been put together apart from their walk with Jesus. They have planned without God. Look at verse 13. Everything they planned. They planned this trip. They planned the destination. They planned to spend a certain amount of time there. They planned to engage in business over the course of a year in this city, and they planned for their business to have certain results. And with all the plans made, there's no mention of looking to God in the midst of those plans. Okay, don't misunderstand here. Planning's not the problem. In verse 15, you're actually going to see that the planning is just fine. It's expected, as long as God's in the middle of it. The problem here is that this plan has been crafted in their minds and in their hearts. It's been spoken with their mouth, and there's been no acknowledgement. Listen to this. There's been no acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus. You've heard this phrase before. I bet you can finish it for me. You want to make God laugh? What do? Tell him your plans, right? Charles Spurgeon, when writing about this verse, James 4, 13, he echoes that modern phrase, but he's way more eloquent. Listen to how he says it. He says, notice that these people, in James 4, 13, It says, while they've thought of everything at their disposal, they used everything for worldly objects. What did they say? Did they determine with each other, we will today or tomorrow do such a thing for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom? Oh, no. There was not a word about God in it from beginning to end. Listen, that's not a worldview of someone that has trusted Jesus as their Savior. See, James uses the words that he uses here. He uses the tone that he uses. He goes middle name on them in order to get their attention. He's trying to teach them a tough but important spiritual lesson, a lesson that you and I need to pay attention to as well. He's saying, please, please, please don't be so consumed with the material world that you become blind to the spiritual realities around you. Again, the problem's not planning for the future. It's not planning for business. It's not planning for your personal finances. The problem here is planning without God. And this problem, when we engage in that, when we plan without input from our Heavenly Father and without being under the Lordship of Jesus, we are showing an unbelievable arrogance. We're showing a worldly self-confidence. Again, please don't misinterpret. Planning's good. Planning's wise. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a child of God, Scripture has called you, understand this, has called you to be a good steward of the resources, of the opportunities, of the gifts, of the talents, of the abilities, of all of that God has entrusted to you. But understand that to steward those resources and to steward those opportunities with no dependency on the Lord, that is an arrogance that does not please our Savior. Right? Don't read this and don't see this and swing so far to the other side that you say, well, then I'm just going to sit back. If that's the case, I'm not going to plan anything. I'm just going to let things happen around me. That's not the solution to the problem. Right? The solution to this problem that we see here in Scripture is simply to plan with God. Right? You and I are called to make our plans with our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 15. James would have us adjust our mindset here. He says, instead, you ought to say, listen, if the Lord wills, we're going to live. If the Lord wills, we're going to do this. If the Lord wills, we're going to do that. It's pretty simple, right? The point is to have a mindset that says, man, I need the grace of God in my life. The point is to have this attitude, this worldview that says, man, I am completely dependent on the will of God and the work of God in my life, in my future, and in my plans. So yes, plan. But plan your life with God. And you might be thinking, how can I do that? Let me give you a way. If you want to follow God's word, if you want to plan with him, let me just say that you should be reading and living the words of Jesus, right? Reading and living the word of God. That's how we plan with him. Proverbs 16:9. Remember, it says, the heart of a man plans his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. So, for you and me, what we see here in Scripture, right, what we see here, the commands that God gives us, the examples that are put forth in his word of his children living his way, right, what we simply see here that as we plan with the heart of prayer before our Father, we just simply model what we read here. We model what we see here in God's word, that's planning with Paul. A great example of that in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. When it comes to planning with a dependency on God, he shows us what it looks like. In Acts chapter 18, verse 21, he says, I'll return to you again, God willing. Right? He qualifies it, right? He says God is in control of his plans. In 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, I'm going to come to you shortly. If the Lord wills, again, God is in control of his plans. He's laid them before the Father. He says it in 1 Corinthians 16:7. Again, I hope to stay with you a while. He wants to stay with the church in Corinth. He wants to invest in them. He wants to teach them. He wants to disciple them. He wants to do ministry with them. He wants to reach the city with them and for them. But he says again, if the Lord permits. Listen, these sentences here from the Apostle Paul, there's just a slight difference from James 4:13. But it shows a massive difference in heart and a massive difference in worldview. Paul made his plans. He had specific objectives with his life that he wanted to accomplish. He had specific desires and goals that he laid out before himself that he wanted to walk out. But we see from his words, we see from his heart and his mind that he ultimately knew any plans he laid out were completely dependent on the control of God in his life. And not only that, you can see that his plans were laid out not for his glory, but ultimately his plans were laid out for the glory of God. So plan with God. Right, let the word of God lead the way in every aspect of your life. Psalm 119:105. What does it say? God's word says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This morning, right, let's do what we see here in James, and let's let the word of God shape our plans and shape our lives. The word of God is meant to guide us to the heart of God so that we can live a life that brings glory to God. And listen, there's no aspect of your life that's left out of God's word. But if you want to plan according to the word of God, it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how old you are, what you do for a living, what your family life is, none of that matters. All of it is found here in the word of God. Think about it. Not sure how to plan for your marriage? Okay. Read Ephesians 5 and live out the word of God. Right? See what God would have you do as a husband or a wife and live it out. Make your plans with him. Not sure how to raise your kids or how you should plan your life with all of the things going on in your world with your kids? Oh, that's fine. Read Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? Read it and live it out, right? Let God's word show you the way when you're planning for your kids, right? Not sure what plans to make for your business or your work life? Okay, that's fine. Read Colossians 3:23 and look at the work ethic of a child of God and how we're supposed to live and work with the people around us, always giving glory to him. Listen, not sure what to do with those friends of yours that are rooting for the Rangers tonight? Read Psalm 59:13 and let us destroy them so that they may be... Not really. Come on. No. Listen, everything that you're going to face, every plan that you need to make, every situation you have to walk through, it's illuminated by the word of God. Think about the people in your life that you just can't get along with. You have people in your life that push your buttons. Maybe they're coworkers, maybe a boss, maybe a family member, maybe a neighbor. There's always friction. There's always frustration. There's always anger. Everyone in here is thinking of a person right now. Listen, God's got a plan for that too. Read Philippians chapter 2 and look at what God says about not looking to ourselves, but looking to the interest of others. And then in Philippians 2, there's this great example of how Jesus did that for each and every one of us. When you plan your life, or when you walk through, plan it with God's word. Maybe you're in a time of crisis right now, a time of loss, a time of grief, time of frustration, a time of despair, and you're not sure how to navigate that, what that should look like for you, read Romans 15:13, right, and live it out. Read the word of God, live it out. Let that be the plan for your life. There's nothing excluded from that. When Chelsea and I go to planning our life and what we're going to do and how we're going to raise our kids and what we're going to be involved in, we always find ourselves going back to Matthew chapter 22. So the words of Jesus, somebody asked him, hey, what's the greatest commandment that anybody could hope to like? If there's one thing, give it to us. What do we do? What did Jesus say? He said, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, and the second command, it's very similar, and it's a close second. He said, you should love your neighbor as yourself. So ultimately, Jesus said, listen, if we're going to live a life that honors him, if we're going to plan our lives in a way that honors him, we're going to be about loving God first and foremost, and then we're going to be about loving the people that God's placed in our life. So as a family, when we make our plans, when an opportunity comes, that's the filter that we use to plan. Is this going to help us love the Lord more? And in doing this, is this going to help us not only love the Lord more, is this going to help us love the people that God's placed in our life more. Like that's our filter. And so whether it's an opportunity or a commitment or an organization or time or money or whatever, we run it through that lens. Listen, far from perfectly, but that's our heart. That's what we desire to do. We want our kids to see that too. We want our kids to know and see the priority that God's given us, right, in his word of loving God. We want them to see that's lived out in our home. Right, so we do our best to plan with God, each and every one of us. right? It is called to go to his word and to lay out our plans, our lives, not with this extreme self-sufficiency and dependence on us, right? But in submission to the lordship of Jesus. Listen, you want to avoid James calling you by your middle name here? Make your plans with God. Do it by reading his word. Do it by living his word. And as you make your plans with him, as you lay them out before God, I mean, lay them out with open hands, knowing that he can change them, knowing that he can do what he'll do. But you can sit here with these open hands, but because you know that you can trust his heart. We just sang about God being our firm foundation and God never failing. You can trust the heart of God with your plans. Jesus did, didn't he? Think back to the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened there? Jesus knew the cross was coming. He knew the pain was coming. He knew that moment of separation from the Father was coming. He knew that was coming. And he said, God, if there's any other way, Heavenly Father, if there's any other way, let's do it a different way. But if not, he said, God, not my will, not my plans, but whose will? Your will be done. He trusted. Right? He trusted our Heavenly Father with his plans. You can trust the heart of God too. And just don't be surprised that if you lay out these grand plans and you're holding tight to them on your own, if they're about you and they're not about him, don't be surprised if he changes those plans. I remember back when I was in high school, I had plans for my life. My goal was to be a pilot, me and a buddy actually. We were looking at this in high school together. We looked at these ROTC programs. We looked at these flight schools. That's what we wanted to do, go through the Air Force and then fly commercially. My buddy did that. Like he lived that life, and he lives in Atlanta, and he's flying for Delta Airlines now, and he walked out the plans. But for me, when I stepped into it and began to walk out the plans and was getting physicals and all of that, my eyesight, it just wasn't what it used to be. It wasn't what it needed to be. And listen to this. I wasn't able to do what I planned for my life. I was frustrated. I was confused. I was questioning. I was doubting. And I hope that you can hear how often I'm using the word I right now. It's all about me. Right? I realized that I was doing exactly what we see here in James chapter 4. I made grand plans about my future without submitting them to the lordship of Jesus, without praying and seeing what God would have me do with my life. And as it turns out, God had a different plan for me. Listen, make your plans walking closely with God. And as you do, he will lead the way for you. And just know and trust his way is always better than our way. Look at verse 14. Goes on to say, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we're going to live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Problem number two, it's right there in verse 14. Problem number two with these people and with you and I is we presume about tomorrow. James says, listen, you've planned with God, don't do that. And then he goes on to say, you have no idea what tomorrow holds. And he goes so far as to say, you shouldn't even be certain that you have a tomorrow. Right? Well, we're not in control of that, right? God's in control of that. Not just today, God's in control of our tomorrow as well. And as people, we're reminded here in James chapter 4 that life is frail and that life is often uncertain. Look at the exact phrase in verse 14. You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In the Greek right there, that word for mist, it's not like a fog that comes down and lingers all morning long. It's not a fog that lingers for a few hours. This mist that we see here in verse 14, it's like a vapor or a puff that's there for a moment and then it's gone. I read this online recently. I'm sure some of you saw it as well. It said, those that died yesterday, they had plans for today. And those that died this morning, most of them had plans for tonight. It's a tough pill for us to swallow. We don't like to think about that. Got real quiet in here. It did in the first service too. Because we like to think and we like to live like we're going to be around for forever. A few of our campus pastors were together about 3 weeks ago now. We were discussing this verse and this text. And one of them wanted to help sort of drive home the point that man, our life is short, that our time on earth is temporary. And so he asked this question. It's fascinating to me. I want you to think about it too. He asked, there's five or six of us around the table. He said, how many of you can give me the first and the last name of your great-grandfathers and what they did for a living while they were here on earth, what their job was? First and last name, not grandpa, but great-grandpa, and what they did for a living here on earth. Six guys around the table, and none of us could give that information about any of our great-grandfathers. And if you're thinking about it now, unless you've been doing some Ancestry.com work recently, you probably don't have that information either. The point's simply this, guys, we're amiss. Our time is short. Well, we don't know what's coming tomorrow, and even if we did know what's coming tomorrow, we wouldn't be able to do anything about it, right? That the concept that life is short on earth and that eternity with our Heavenly Father, that it's forever, man, it's a recurring biblical theme. Proverbs 27:1 says, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day might bring forth. James echoes the teaching of Jesus here. In Luke 12, Jesus has a parable. He warns the crowd and reminds them, listen, life is not about all of the things that you can gather up according to your plans. He tells them this parable, and there's a rich man in the parable that's much like the merchants that James mentions here in verse 13. This guy makes plans about his business, plans about his future, plans about all of these things that he wants to do with no acknowledgement of the lordship of God, no dependency on our Heavenly Father. And we see in Jesus' parable in Luke 12, he doesn't get to walk out any of those plans. Why not? Because he didn't live to the next day. The man had the same problem James describes here. He made assumptions based on what tomorrow would bring. Listen, that's not our place, right? And the solution to that for you and me, it's simple. We just simply live every day for the glory of God. See, in James 4, God's word is calling us to a radically different way to live than the rest of the world. Our culture would say, man, live like you're going to be here forever. Make plans, get stuff, focus on the material things now, and then as you get older, you've got time, you could get serious about that faith stuff a little bit later on. James says, no, don't think about it like that. James says, submit to God. He tells us to live with a spirit of humility. James tells us to take every day, every thought, every plan, and submit it to the Lord, to submit it to Jesus. And look at verse 15. It says that we should say, if the Lord wills, we're going to walk out these plans. If the Lord wills, we're going to live them out tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. That mindset, that if the Lord wills mindset, expresses a worldview that shows complete dependence on God in our lives. It shows complete trust in the sovereignty of God over every aspect of our lives, over every aspect of our plans. Live each day for the glory of God. Jonathan Edwards, he's a famous preacher in the United States quite a while ago. He was a major figure in the first Great Awakening that happened as revival spread across our country. We continue to pray for that to happen again. And in his most famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, many of you have probably heard of that. He's just very influential in the history of the church and of believers. But when he was 19 years old, he wrote out 70 resolutions. Right? He went to the Word of God, he studied the Word of God, and he said, I'm going to live my life based on the Word of God with these 70 resolutions, and he wrote them out. Right? And a few of them pertain to what we're seeing here. He understood that his life was amiss, that his life was short, and he needed to live each day for the glory of God. Look what he resolved to do. Here's three of them. He said, I resolved never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Living every moment for the glory of God. He said, I'm resolved that I will live so as I wish I had done when I come to die. Every moment for the glory of God. He said, I frequently hear people in old age say how they would live if they were to live their lives over again. He said, I'm resolved that I'm going to live that way so I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to an old age. Every moment for the glory of God. This passage tells us to live and to work and to plan and to exist in our relationships like life is short and time is precious. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We're encouraged here Not to waste our time in our life on worldly things that have no eternal value. Well, we're told to spend our life humbly living for the glory of God. Now think about that concept in the context of James chapter 4. Remember how verse 13 started. What are we addressing here? Right? James is addressing people that are going on a trip and making their business and their plans without God. He broke out the middle name, tone. He reprimands them for the way they're going about it. Listen, there's nothing wrong with the trip. Nothing wrong with them doing business. Nothing wrong with them making a profit. Nothing wrong with making plans for the future. The problem comes into play when we do that trusting in ourselves and our abilities and not submitting our plans to God, right? The two problems, planning without God and making assumptions that we are in control of tomorrow, when in reality, we see here that God is. I hope you can tell that this passage is aimed at our mindset. It's aimed at our worldview and how we go about our lives. Listen, we don't stop planning. We shouldn't read this and think we're going to sit at home and live in fear because life is short. God created us to move. He created us to work. He created us to accomplish much, to be in relationships with other people, to interact with the world around us. And listen, as his followers, we're to carry a certain attitude and a certain worldview into every single aspect of our life, an attitude, a worldview that shows our trust in him, that shows complete trust in the sovereignty and the will of God over all things. So go on the trip, plan your future, plan the business, and do so letting your thoughts, your attitude, your words, your actions, your interactions reflect trust in the love of Jesus, trust in the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. Listen, James is right. We're amidst, and we have no idea what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I love this concept, right? We know we are in a relationship with the one that does hold the future in his hands. Our lives, our attitude, our mindset, our worldview, all of our plans should reflect that relationship we have with a sovereign heavenly Father. Look at verse 17. There's one more problem James deals with here before he closes. He says this, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for that person, it's a sin. Problem number three, putting off doing good. Right, here we read, if we know the right thing to do, right, if we know how God would have us act, how God would have us respond in a current situation, and we don't do it, we read that that's a sin. Right now, normally, I get it. You and I think of sin the other way, don't we? Normally, we think of sin as doing something intentionally that God has told us not to do. We'll get technical here for a minute. When we do something, when we're active in something that goes against the Word of God, that's called a sin of commission, right? We are choosing to do that and engage in whatever sin activity that is. Verse 17 describes the opposite. Okay, verse 17 describes what we would call sins of omission, sins that we commit when we don't do what we know God has called us to do. It's basically sins of inaction, right? Sins of sitting back and letting the moment pass without moving forward in obedience to God. And where this first sits in James, we see how it plays out, right? We know that we are commanded to plan our lives, right, according to the lordship of Jesus. So when we don't do that, when we plan it our way, not God's way, James is saying that we're wrong, right? That we are actively choosing to live in sin. When we hear the commands of God, like, hey, plan your life with dependence on him, and then don't do it, we are living in disobedience to the Father. And listen, verse 17, it applies to so much more than just the plans we make, right? If you take it in the context of the entire book of James, think about other areas where this would fit. James told us to care for the needy, right? We see that a few times in the book of James. So we know that God's heart, God's desire for you and me as his children is when we see people in need, we're supposed to meet the need. We're supposed to jump in and help other people out. When we see that and don't do what we know God's called us to do, God's word says we are living in sin. Right, the solution to this problem is just simply obey God. Right, do what God says and do it immediately. As we look in his word, all of his commands, they're for our good, they're for his glory. In fact, Jesus said that he came so that we could have abundant life, a joy-filled life on this earth and with him in eternity. Listen, don't forget a huge theme in James, right? One of those anchor verses is to be a doer of the word of God, right? That theme in James that we see over and over essentially says this: what we believe in our heart, it is shown by how we live, right? It's shown by how we behave, right? Our beliefs drive our behavior. And so for me and you this morning, if we really believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, if we really believe that Jesus is our Savior and that we have eternal life through our relationship with him, then what we've seen this morning, it just simply becomes who we are. It becomes the pattern of our lives. We're going to begin planning our lives with God at the center, right? Well, we're going to look to the Word of God and make our plans for our family, our work, our priorities, our time, our money, our commitments, all of that. And all of those plans are going to flow from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We're going to live every moment understanding we're not going to be here forever, right? That time is short, and we're going to live each moment day by day for the glory of God. And ultimately, right, if we believe that he is Lord, if we believe that he is Savior, we're going to live our life in obedience to him, right? We're going to be careful to do what he's called us to do in each and every situation. And as we do, we're going to live a life, right, that brings glory to God and points the people around us to our Heavenly Father day in and day out. Would you pray with me this morning? As we bow our heads this morning, I just want to encourage you to think about the Word of God. Think about James 4. Think about what we've seen. Think about what we've read. Think about what we've talked about. And now think about your life and how that fits in. And would you say this morning that you're making your plans according to the Word of God? Would you say this morning that your plans are lined out according to the will of God, the Word of God, that you're submitting through prayer your plans for your life or your kids or your finances or your family or your business or your job, that you're submitting that to the Lordship of Jesus? Or have you been trying to do that on your own here for a little while? Listen, if you would say this morning that it's been about you, I want to encourage you to take this text to heart. And this morning, just confess that to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been doing it my way. I'm ready to do it your way. Lord, I've been making plans for my life and my family, and I've been doing it without you. And for that, God, I'm sorry. And commit this morning to living out his word in every aspect of your life. Commit this morning to making those plans, moving forward with God at the very center. Commit to walking closely and intimately with him, so that those plans just overflow from a heart that's walking with Jesus. Maybe that there's things that you know God's been telling you to do, and you've been putting off getting them done. You've been putting off doing what you know would be obedience to God in your life, whatever that is. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you. Commit to being obedient to God. Commit to doing what he has called you to do in every aspect of your life. God.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.